I thought I'd know by now where all the attachments are.
This is something that's probably come up before.
I know, right? Hey, James, you hear about that cargo ship? That doc. Actually, I know you didn't hear about it, so I'm going to read it to you. Okay.
What happened, Russell?
And neither do the guys and issues. So there was a cargo ship that was on its way from California, from China.
What is a cargo ship?
And neither do the guys with issues.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Anyway, so the boat, the really big boat, and we got into a storm about 1,600 miles northwest of Hawaii. And in that storm, it lost about 1,800 shipping containers.
1,800? That's a lot.
Holy cow, that's like 1,800 tractor-trailer trucks losing that big, giant container behind them in the ocean.
How many go on a ship like that?
No kidding, that's huge.
I have no idea, but obviously... Plus,
north of Hawaii, that trash island or that plastic island that's floating there and just collecting all the garbage from the Pacific Ocean?
I don't think it's going to collect those semi-tractor trailer
truck containers.
Containers.
But that doesn't help, though. Because,
no, it doesn't.
Because, I mean, some of them might break open. Whatever is in the, because there's things in the container.
Well, as Onyx once said, but whoa, wait, it gets worse.
Oh, snap.
The Coast Guard said that at least 40 of the lost containers, what they were carrying, what they call dangerous goods.
Oh.
But they wouldn't go any further than that.
What could that be?
Dangerous goods. So these things are good, but they're dangerous.
Yeah.
So they're bad goods?
Or good bads?
Well, whatever it is, there's 40 of them.
Danger.
That could be like batteries. Like batteries or the car batteries. They're good, mm-hmm. but in the ocean, very bad.
Yeah. I mean, but the way you're saying
like it is... regular batteries...
The way you're saying it is as if there's like just 40 car batteries in the water. It's 40 containers of car batteries.
Holy crap.
It's not like a 40 six packs, 40 shipping containers. Imagine how many batteries they could hold.
Oh. Well, even if there were cars on that boat, that they have fuel, oil, other liquids and... Because even, I think, when I was working with hazardous material, one of the most dangerous thing that I worked with was chlorine. Bees. It was chlorine. Mm-hmm. Like, so if I'm carrying chlorine and I go over train track, it's very important that I make sure there's no trains coming. And so they specifically said the one in Eva. And I'm like, but we don't have trains. Mm-hmm. Like, but there's a track. I was like, but there's no train. But there's a track. I was like, so you have to make sure there's no train. I was like, I guarantee you there's no train on those tracks. But I understand what you're saying. So it's like, very like chlorine, which goes in Clorox. I was delivering industrial strength detergents to like hotels or giant washing companies, you know, laundry companies and stuff like that. So yeah, one of the biggest ones was like, I got to be careful with was the chlorine. I was like, dang, I didn't know it was that bad.
First off, I think the golden rule for any train crossing that has an actual train is to make sure that there's no train.
Yes.
Not just because you're holding chlorine.
But I'm saying though.
But why Is it because you trip and fall into chlorine, or chlorine on the tracks?
I guess because if it gets into the ground and gets into the water system or something like that, like I think it's that chemical is very bad.
So once again, it's like a general rule of just don't drop chlorine anywhere.
Yeah. Shoot, when I used to deliver and then I would have to carry some of it, and then you cannot seal a container that has chlorine. You have to let air out. I mean, because if you seal it, it could explode. You know what I mean? Like soda, when you shake it, the pressure builds up. So you have to let it. So some of it will leak out. Like I remember, like when I was carrying one of them, and my pants felt like it was really hot all of a sudden. Then I looked down, and it was dripping onto my pant leg, which was navy blue, except for the part where the chlorine was dripping, and it was just eating a hole into my pants, and I was like, holy cow, that was hurting a little bit.
That's why I thought that this sounded familiar. When you mentioned this story, I was surprised at the number, because there was another shipment earlier this summer where a cargo ship in Hawaii lost 21 containers. Yeah,
that was one off of Hilo, right?
Yeah. That's what I thought we were talking about.
No.
This is way worse.
Way worse. Yeah, that was what, 21 containers, you said?
And yeah, this 21 containers as opposed to 1,900.
1,900.
And then those Hilo ones were like close to shore, right? Like generally. Because people were taking pictures. They were
not like 1,600 miles away.
Yeah. Right.
So what's messed up is that we're talking about the containers. We haven't even talked about the people. Was there any survivors?
The boat, the people on the boat survived the storm. It's just the containers fell over. Yeah,
it's not like the ship sank.
Yeah,
it's just lost some stuff.
Because looking at the picture, it looks like there's way more than 1,800 containers on top of this boat left. You know. Oh.
So holy cow, how much does it hold?
I have no idea. There seems to be a lot. I mean,
wow.
I would say 3,000 ish, maybe.
Maybe.
You think there's a lot of? Go ahead.
No, I'm just like, wow. How many things are being transported on one ship? Mm. That's because I mean, this is we're looking at containers, but then there's the containers are, well, maybe not all, but mostly of. I'm sure are filled with things,
right?
That we purchase and get shipped over, or wow,
yep.
So I'm sure that they were all filled.
Mm. My question would be: you think they would have like some sort of pirates and stuff try and hunt it down and trying to recover those things? Because people can't just recover 1,800 containers on all one time. So I'm guaranteed there's like if it happened near Hawaii. I guarantee you there are people driving out there trying to look for some, see what they can get.
Pretty sure they're not driving, though.
They're driving their boats.
You drive a boat or do you sail?
I don't think that you sail it if it doesn't have sails.
Mm. Mm. Good point.
You sound like a guy that crosses the train track with the chlorine bucket, bro. Don't look.
I get on and walk over and go, but how am I going to get my truck on this side? Wait, so I don't think the Pacific Ocean, I think it'll be tough. We were talking about people going down there, or scavengers, I guess, right. To go and try to pick up some of the stuff that's, but I'm assuming it's like super deep and the water is super rough.
Well, I would assume some float.
Oh, well.
They don't drop to the bottom of the trench and stuff.
The floating ones, too, they're probably getting first, right, though? Like whatever crew is going to try and salvage some of the containers.
Recovery.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, 1,800, you're not going to get them all in one time.
But how do you get it onto a boat? Float?
You don't. You just open it up and take whatever's inside.
But when you open it up, you let the air out and it goes bloop, 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 and sinks.
Also a concern.
My plans are foiled.
And neither do the guys with issues. Yeah. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 19 of the Guys with Issues. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for always listening. Thank you for always sharing the episodes. My name is James Mane. As always, I am with Russell Kealoha.
Hello, everybody.
And Chad Wago.
Hey.
We are the guys that get down to the nitty gritty into these issues that's happening here in Hawaii. Nay, it's kind of like we give you some news, but we don't candy coat it. We are unfiltered. We are the straight dope. We are raw because we don't give a fuck. We tell it like it is. So I just want to say thank you for joining us. Any shout outs before we get started, guys?
Do we?
I don't know. I don't have one.
No, I have none.
I got nothing.
All right. And that's how we roll. We don't give us. Okay. No, we do care about you
nobody's
guys.
Nobody's paying us.
Yeah. So if you want to give a shout out, hit us up on our Instagram, DM us, also on Facebook, Twitter,
hit on us our up YouTube on channel. Or Cash App.
Or coming soon, OnlyFans.
Ooh. Gonna take off my shirt.
It's getting hot in here.
I wonder with I saw one girl's video on TikTok, not a dirty one, but she made a good point. Sorry, I'm going off my own tangent again here. Where because my sister, when she's in her work meeting, next to their name is the is it pronoun that you want to be referred to as?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so like he, she, what you, or is gender neutral? What, so whatever you associate or see yourself as, so that the other people in the meeting can refer to you correctly, because you know there's some ignorance where, you know, maybe I didn't know that about you, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you, mm-hmm. you know. But now I see in the Zoom meeting that how to address. I think it's not just Zoom, but you know what I mean. Online meetings, but this,
yeah, like I have in my Twitter bio my pronouns.
Oh, see, like, and then this woman on TikTok brought up a good point, which is counter to that. Where she doesn't want to have to tell at work mm-hmm. when she wants to say it when she is ready. Mm-hmm. So it shouldn't be forced to come out at work. So I was like, my. So these are things that I'm ignorant to. I'm not an asshole. I would respect either one. Mm-hmm. If you want to be referred to as male, female, and I'm sorry, I don't know all of the on the spectrum. I don't know all of it. I would refer to whatever, you know, I respect your wishes. But then I didn't think about that, where what if I'm not ready to tell you? Mm-hmm. So that's a tough one right there. I mean, how do you, like, if somebody, like, just says that, at, you know, I don't want to tell you what I am, or...
Well, if you're not ready...
I will refer to you as James. And yeah. Only ever is James.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
Mm-hmm. I have put my profile in my bio, in my name, if you look above. So, please refer to me, he, him, or motherfucking G.
Oh, I would love to see that if we were at work and then your manager or your boss is like, I'm sorry, what is the MFG? All right, let's get into it, fellas. I apologize. Going off on a tangent like that. All right, so the Oahu is in, and this shocked me. The Oahu high rise is going to be converted into affordable housing units. Now, the owner of this high rise unveiled this plan on a couple of days ago.
A couple years ago,
this is the date, or the last year. He wants to turn
February
the property
of last year.
Yeah, he wants to turn the property into workforce rental apartments. This is, let's see, 500 new affordable apartments. Wow. So I believe the rent that they were thinking of making it was going to be $2,250 a month for a studio apartment.
Yeah.
So let me go back. And I'll put Douglas Emmett Incorporated, which owns Bishop Place, says they want to make 500 affordable apartments starting at $2,250 a month for a studio apartment. Let's let that sink in a little bit.
Ridiculous.
Sink in like 1,900 containers into the Pacific Ocean.
Ridiculous. Now, the
thing is, they had announced this, that they were going to be doing this affordable units last year, February. I don't know whether or not plans have changed because these don't sound fucking affordable. But they're available now. Like, I've been seeing advertising for this now. That's why I dropped it into the show notes. And I was just like, oh, that's super convenient for me. That's I want to say the building is like 1133 Bishop. So it's like right up the street from where I am. So I looked into the prices and $2,250 for a studio. Them studios are meant for one person to live in.
Yep. No room.
With a kitchenette. Not a kitchen, a kitchenette. A kitchenette means maybe not. Well, I'm not sure because it doesn't say that.
I think, is actually a full kitchen.
Okay, so still $2,250 for a bedroom.
It's a studio plus.
See, I had an apartment, a studio apartment, in Salt Lake, and it was a large room. It did have a full kitchen, but it was like against the wall, so it wasn't like you go into the kitchen.
Yeah,
it was. I'm laying in my bed watching TV. I look to my left. There's the kitchen. But there was the bathroom around the corner, which was okay, which is cool. But and there was a full bathroom, thank God. But, yeah, it's still $2,250. That apartment that I had, I'm pretty sure it was less than $1,000. And it was electricity included.
How long ago was that?
Oh, this was early
2000s.
2002, 2001, okay. 2002. It was PT, pre-Tyler, or BT, before Tyler was born.
So the one bedrooms are between $2,300 and $2,800, depending on the size.
Mm-hmm.
And the two bedrooms don't even have a price yet.
They're just like, oh, we don't got none.
And we ain't got none. And the one bedroom for $2,300 between and $2,700 is like 466 square feet. That's not even that big.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, you don't have a yard. You don't have, you know, a patio, or well, maybe you have a lanai. I don't know. But the good thing about it is where it's located in downtown, the main business district. It's pretty much in the middle of the business district, or maybe just like slightly off center. But you're on Bishop Street.
That's right across the street. It looks like it's like right across the street from Remington. Is that the area?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's
1132 Bishop.
I walk past it every day when I used to work in downtown. It's all the bus routes pass it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's
central.
Yeah, it's really the only thing. So that place when I worked in downtown, and then sometimes I feel like, yeah, I'm going to work night, so maybe I'll catch the bus home. It's like Walking Dead at night. Mm-hmm. In that everybody looks like a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like somebody is about to pull a scam on you, or somebody's about to jump you and take your stuff and run. So it wouldn't be the safest place as far as the area is concerned.
Mm-hmm. I don't even think they would run. I think they would just rob you and then kind of sit at the corner about 5 feet away from you and be like, oh, it looks like you got robbed.
they're like across the street and go, they're sitting down, they're not even running. They're like, what is your password to open the phone again?
Oh, don't worry. I got your thumb right here.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm a big dude. I look intimidating, but I just felt outnumbered. You know, it's so many, and there's a lot of homeless people, a lot of, and these aren't the homeless people that are, you know, trying to get in, you know, get back up into a place to stay. These are the ones that are the winos, the crackheads that in the morning when you're getting off the bus and walking to your job that are yelling at each other and it's like piss all over the place. So that's why they're always shooting down the sidewalks every business every morning over there. Mm-hmm. It's not a good place to live.
Yeah, it's mostly addicts and mentally ill around there.
Yeah.
You're also, since you are a big guy, James, do you feel that you would be comfortable in these studio apartments? They're so small.
It looks like
I think the studio looks like you have to back up into the toilet, man. And I'm speaking for myself. Just looking at that, man.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be comfortable in there. I mean, even just to get out. I mean, because when you get out of your apartment, you're still in a building. You know, I like living in the ground floor, you know, in the townhouse that I live in, and I go outside, I'm outside. There it is, like, you know, and then I was telling you guys, I was texting you guys there, I lived in the on the 19th floor in the Kamuki area, right across from Kamuki High School, and there was only one elevator in the building. And it was like one of those half buildings where there's no hallway. You mm-hmm. open your door, you're outside, but you still gotta walk, you know what I mean? So it was like you press the button and you can tell the elevator is not moving. So you stick your head over the rail and you're like, stop holding the elevator. Or you're banging on the door because you know they can hear you with your key or something, and mm-hmm. like, let the elevator go. But there's been times where I had to go upstairs and the elevator was stuck. Mm-hmm. And one time I got stuck in the elevator. It was me and the manager. And I was like, I looked at him like, I go, oh, press the button to call somebody. I was like, call somebody. You can't do
that. Who am I supposed to call? You?
Press the button. His phone rang. Yeah.
And he tells me, hold on, I gotta take this. Hello?
Hello? Hello? Sorry, you gotta talk louder, there's an echo.
Oh, I'm stuck in the elevator with this idiot. But we were stuck between the fourth and fifth floor. I still had to go up to the 19th. So what I did was it's been some elevators in my time where if you really try to pull it open, it'll eventually open.
All right.
I think there's some kind of mechanism. So I pulled it open and then we stuck. And then I pulled open the outside door. And then he looked at me and he was like kind of elderly, maybe like his late 60s. And then I turned around and looked at him and then he was like, oh, what are you going to do? I go, I'm going to jump out. He go, what about me? I say, I don't know. You go call somebody.
Where's you going to press that button over there?
And then I jumped. Of course, I chose down. When you're in elevator, you don't try to jump up and climb up because then you'll get chopped off if the elevator moves. So I was like Indiana Jones for me. I was holding it open. I was like, okay, 3, 2, 1. And I jumped down. And I had my hat on too, but I ended up having to walk all the way up to the 19th floor. I was like, holy crap.
But what about the guy in the elevator?
I don't know, but I hope he made it out of the line. But yeah, that's that. So living in buildings is cool, but that's actually a really nice building. I didn't know it was homes. I thought it was a business, you know, just all offices.
It was. That's why there was the announcement last year about converting it so that they could get all of the people into the affordable units, which, by the way, like, I know that we're talking about just the straight numbers for the price and how unbelievable that is, but even at the outset of this plan, when he said he was going to make affordable units, he says it's going to be for people making between 80% to 120% of the average median income range. So average median income range, that's the average of how much people are making, right? So why are your affordable units going to be over the average income? Like, shouldn't affordable be below average?
Yes, I believe it would be. Which begs the question, like, maybe off the top of your guys' head, without going into the numbers, what is affordable for like a studio?
Like in real life?
Yeah. Numbers, or...
I think people that are going to be living in studios, like, we really shouldn't be asking them to pay more than like 12 or 13.
Yeah, well, because of the location and the building is a nice building. So I think that's about reasonable. I think because it's a studio, come on, man, it should be around 1,000 somewhere. Mm-hmm. But I understand also the location, like I was saying, it's central, you're in downtown, walking distance to a lot of places. Yeah, 12, 13 sounds good to me.
It sounds like unless you're living like a baller life, you probably have to get like a roommate or a girlfriend
in a studio
to afford that. Like, you got to chop it up like you do in the dorm days. You get like a divider and then you just share space.
Or like the person that can afford it is the guy that has the Uber helicopter. But I had the studio. I ended up having a girlfriend move in. I still paid for everything. It didn't work out. So that plan has a flaw in it, Russell.
Okay.
I mean, I guess I was single. I didn't have any kids. I didn't have a kid. I was making good money. I lived close to work. So I would say, yeah, the one that I had, yeah. Electricity was included and then central air. To me, I was like, oh, that's huge. The air conditioner stayed on all the time.
Was this the one that was on the 19th floor?
No. The one on the 19th floor, electricity was included, but it didn't need air conditioning because, you know, those half buildings, your front door and your front window is facing the mountain, and then your lanai has this big sliding door. We had to make sure we held things down because you know, don't leave papers laying around or it's gone. It's on its way to McCully right now.
Speaking of COVID.
Where are you going with this, Russell?
I know, I'm just going to set up my own segues.
Yeah, I love it.
We just got word from Lieutenant Governor Josh Green, or as some people like to say, LGJG. And he says that we're going to get the plan is to get the vaccine in Hawaii by the 13th of December, which would be next week. And he said that the plan would be to offer the vaccine to healthcare workers in the Kupuna who live in the long-term care facilities, person in Qatar, Kupuna, old folk, the ones that have the high mortality rate, is the old folks here. Right now, they're saying that the presumption is that they're going to get about 12,675 vaccinations initially. In the week of December 13th. And if we're lucky, we could get as much as 83 to 84,000 doses in the first month, but that's dependent on the federal government approval. How's that? That vaccine stuff is coming out quick, huh?
Yeah. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I believe in vaccines. I'm glad that we have this corona vaccine. My biggest problem right now is it's turned around awfully quick. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that have really like 180'd their stance on the vaccine. Like when Trump was in power, everyone was like, oh, you know, you can't take that. you don't know like how they got it turned around so quickly. He says we're going to have one by the end of the year. That's not possible. And if it is, it's not going to work. And now that he's lost the election, which everyone knows he's lost the election, he's lost the election. I just want to reiterate that. It feels good to
say. Wait. Who lost the election, Chad?
Donald fucking Trump. But since Trump's out, because he's still there. But when we were talking about like, when he's in power, we can't, you got to worry about the vaccine. We don't know whether or not it's going to be safe. And now that he's lost the election, all of a sudden, the same people that were concerned about the safety have now turned around and said, oh yeah, no, everyone has to take the vaccine. Absolutely. You take it as soon as it's available. I'm probably going to take it as soon as it's available because I do believe in the power of vaccines and I would like to help. It's concerning to me how quickly people change their tune.
Is it because they change their tune because the way that they're explaining it, like the vaccines that come out, that some of the vaccines that did come out were already in the process of being made at the beginning of the year when things are starting. And nobody from Pfizer in particular did this without Trump's help.
Yeah.
Or without any federal
money. Without any funding from the federal
government. Right. So he has no dog in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no fight in it. So I guess.
Well, maybe he technically doesn't, but that's not if you listen to it.
Because I know they took money for distribution, but mm-hmm. not for making it.
Yeah. He had nothing. What was it? Project Warp Speed? Is that what it was called?
Right.
Yeah, had nothing to do with this, unless of course you listen to Donald Trump.
I think it is early. It's a concern. I like hearing some people, like people with not authority, but trustworthiness
mm-hmm.
that speak about this. So I'm one of those people who are like, I'm hesitant to take it right away,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like it should be taken, but I would like to be educated more. So mm-hmm. I wish there was more education versus, but I can see how the education also gets buried over misinformation. One of the things I did learn is that some of these vaccines are or they weren't built from scratch. They are built upon other vaccines.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just like a from scratch vaccine. They saw what they learned from other vaccines, were able to build on top of that. And actually they're saying it has a better efficacy rate than the flu shots.
Yeah. Some of the stuff I've seen online where they made some good points or that these, okay. So like UK, and nothing, their vaccine research, their scientists, nothing to do with Trump. Mm-hmm. And that they're, they've already started administering it. I think the first woman was today. And then the second person, strangely, his name was William Shakespeare. It was an old man named William Shakespeare. It's like, oh, William Shakespeare got the vaccine. But these are, like you said, these aren't from scratch. They use stuff that they've had for years, and then they've built upon it to see how it would react with the crown or the spikes of the coronavirus. I think the reason we have it so fast, and this is partly what I saw online as well, was the world felt like it was being attacked by this virus, and the world scientists all worked together. I mean, even with their Zoom or whatever, however they could communicate with each other, because the goal as the human race was, we got to find a cure for this or we're going to get wiped out. The other part of it, people were saying like, hey, how come it's so fast when look at other stuff takes forever? Because and the point that this doctor was making was that when you work on a vaccine without a pandemic, with like pre-corona or COVID-19, you got to get funding. So you got to make this research and you got to put these things out so that to get funding, and then you start your testing, then you need, so there's a lot of work going into it that has nothing to do with science just yet. And then you aren't working with other people. Mm-hmm. It's just you and your staff or whatever. Whereas with the COVID-19, and I'm hopeful. I believe in scientists, mm-hmm. that they, you know, hey, if I don't discover something or if I don't get famous for discovering something, but I'm part of a team that does, I'm okay with that. You know, whereas like Trump wants to be, it's because of me, because I made it happen. Where I think scientists actually got together. I mean, not all scientists are like a Dr. Doom or you know, we see in the comics where I think they got together and they said, hey, let's all work towards this common goal to help mankind. And I think that's the reason it's so fast. So,
like Voltron.
I think a bunch of nerd Voltron get together and they can't fight anyone but the virus. And I think that for us, for myself, to stay vigilant, keep wearing masks, keep washing hands, keep staying distant, mm-hmm. and see how people like William Shakespeare, you know, come out of this thing. But they, you know, they put a lot of trust in it that these aren't this vaccine. I mean, we've done the tests, we've made sure, and we've done our due diligence. You know, we trust in this, and mm-hmm. I'm hopeful mm-hmm. that, you know, it'll be all right. And of course, yeah, we'll see what happens with those people in the UK, and then go off of that.
I do want to make something clear. I do have my reservations about this, mm-hmm. but I don't think that they're putting any fucking tracking into these things.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's goddamn thing. Microchips and fucking psychos.
That's what they're saying about Bill Gates, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the guy that I was watching online was saying that with the tracking, it was like a kind of like a invisible ink tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is not to put a tracking device in you, is so that when the person, because there's countries like third world countries where records, medical records might not even exist. So you don't know if you're double dosing a child and you missed out on somebody who, you know, who could have used that. Mm-hmm. I mean, so that's the reason for that. It's not a tracking device, like where are you going? But you know what is a tracking device, you idiots? Let me get like Chad. You idiots, is these smartphones. I don't want them to follow me, but I'll post everything on Instagram. I don't want them to follow me, but I'll be half naked on TikTok doing dances. And it's like crazy. Where all this, where the whole Pizzagate thing blew up months ago, about children, but yet all these social medias where these girls who are in their teens are making millions because they're half naked dancing on social media.
But it is the smartest thing to do, is just put it in your phone, because you will willingly carry it around with you, mm-hmm. and you cannot give it up as much as you try. So why does anybody need to give you a tracking chip injected into you when they can find whatever they want just looking at your phone?
And you post everything that they want to see anyways. And the other thing is like, and then one of my friends used to always say, I don't want them to track me. I was like, let me tell you something. Nobody gives a shit about your life. The NSA doesn't give a damn what you do unless you're doing something that attacks them or this country. And you're not doing either. You're eating two Big Macs and you're taking pictures of them shits. So put your phone down, eat your Big Macs, and shut the fuck up. Oh, sorry. Out of control.
Show me the lie.
Damn it. We just started talking about Josh Green and he just put us in that mood.
I think I will, you know, eventually. I'm going to wait till, you know, it's my turn. I think the vaccine is, once again, another layer in the cheese. This with the cheese hole thing. It's just another layer. Yes,
the protective cheese.
Yes. I had a title of the show. But, you know, it still goes, right now, it still goes along with wearing a mask, washing your hands, and keeping safe distance for now, you know.
it kills me when, like, Chad, when you show me that link of other countries who got their shit together and that shit is back to normal now, or as normal as can be until the vaccination vaccine goes over there. What does that play? It was Australia and New Zealand now, right?
Yeah. Australia was having, like, giant music festivals.
Yeah.
To me, I hope this is a learning point or maybe a turning point as well with Hawaii economy, in that if we didn't have travel, we'd be golden because the ocean borders. That's what we stopped travel in the late spring and in early summer. And that's why our numbers, we got zeros. And then we say, hey, let's loosen up because we need money. So let's let tourists come back. And then that's when our numbers started climbing up again.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't all the tourists that
were right. We're still gathering.
Yeah. But it was a lot of people that said, oh, we're loosening everything up. All right, let's go out and fucking party.
And then, but what I mean is, I hope that we learn, and I say hope, and decide, hey, we can't depend on tourism. That is not like where tourism is the only way we make money. No, let's get into that tech, world. And we used to be maybe not ahead of the curve, but we used to be, there with the rest of the world, maybe in the 80s and early 90s, but let's invest in that. I mean, more into the STEM program. We have a lot of resources here. I mean, shoot, I know that, I remember there was talk about a state going green, let's work into that business,
I'd say definitely we can't live off tourism alone anymore, and I think it really got exposed in this during this pandemic. I think technology is the way to go. I think it's something that we should get started, create an infrastructure, a bigger infrastructure here, where we are in the middle between the States and the Far East, so it would be good for us. I think agriculture,
there's another way to go green.
Yeah.
We can take the high road.
Yeah.
We can make so much food. Everybody loves Hawaiian food. We can make it with cannabis.
No, I really think we should. We should we should start growing weed, making weed products and selling it. And
we can grow it year round. Not everywhere can do that.
Yeah. And fast. We could do it fast.
Yeah. And that this is something where we have to vote in the right people.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get the people who think that way, that we can't just depend on tourism. I mean, look at the people who are in charge now. We got the fucking mayor is passing out masks to the tourists that he is depending on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what you do, is like, wait, I need these people, or I need, if there's something you need, you take care of it. They're taking care of tourists.
Fair. I don't think it's because he likes tourism that much, so much as he knew that he would get news cameras on him if he did that.
I don't think he does
anything except to try and get press conferences, news cameras.
Imagine this in a different world. Instead of passing out masks, he was passing out some joints.
Get high, lay down, and I'll mask you.
Just put a mask on when you pass out.
Oh, wait a minute. That's it. A mask that gets you high.
I'm not saying anything because I think it's dumb. I'm really considering it. I'm just trying to figure out how, Sway. How?
CBD. Oh, CBD oils inside. And then, like, I guess maybe a mouthpiece that you suck on that has stuff in it. And then, like, edibles. Hey,
you're laughing, but I'm like, go on. Taking notes.
Look, none of us are weed doctors here, but we think that this idea has some potential.
Yeah.
If you also think this idea has potential and you understand how this stuff works, hit us up.
A trademark first. Trademark. I mean, copyright. I mean, how do we do this? Shark Tank's gonna infiltrate and they're gonna take my idea, man.
It's TM, just the TM, with- TM.
Guys with issues idea.
Next week is going to be guys weed issues.
new episode name. Oh no, it's basically Jamaican standard. Guys, weed issue, man.
Like I know a lot of people who are thinking this, that you can't live off tourism. There should be other things and not just that.
And there's a lot of locals that are complaining about it, saying that, you know, they write tickets to us, our families, they get citations for going to the park. Meanwhile, these tourists are walking all over the place, no mask. Mm-hmm. It's like, why are you treating them better than the people that live here? And they wonder why a lot of locals end up moving to Nevada or California or the Northwest.
Also cheaper, cheaper, cheaper.
True. But if we take over the tech industry and then we tax things differently, and you know, we can work on our infrastructure as far as the roads, because our roads are jacked up. Mm-hmm. Our bridges, you got to watch out because them joints might be coming down soon. We'd be in a better situation. We got to get the right people in the offices. Younger, get rid of all these old dudes that, you know, we need one choo-choo train for go from one side to the other side more fast. I don't know what politician that was.
So. I still want a choo-choo train.
I kind of do too.
I just want to see you walk across the choo-choo train track with the chlorine. And since we're talking about people who are breaking quarantine stuff,
Where are you going with this, Russell?
I was just trying to go in for the transition edit.
Were you trying to throw in an alley-oop there?
Yeah.
Someone else to grab?
Where are you going with this, Chad?
Well, right now, we're talking about how people are getting citations for breaking these emergency orders. And currently, City Council member Ron Manor. Okay. So try as much as possible not to make it sound like manure. Okay, got it.
Can.
Yeah. Anyway, City Council member Ron Manor asking for Ige and the legislators to hold a special session to change the penalties. Currently, right now, it's a $5,000 or a year in jail, and those are both criminal penalties. He wants it changed to a civil fine instead of a criminal fine. So as soon as the cop writes your ticket, you can just be like, okay, I'm just going to put a check in the mail.
But like,
not have to deal with it.
Like a parking ticket?
Yeah, basically. Other than the fact that it needs to be a special session kind of thing, I think that's a great plan. I don't understand why it has to be a special session, because it's changing one of the emergency orders that Ige just did by himself, right?
Yeah, so Ige could just change it if he wants to.
He should be able to, right?
Yeah. I mean, he changes everything else in the emergency orders from, you know, other things. So why not this?
Mm-hmm. Well, as a former Teamsters, guys, let me introduce you guys to something that's called job... Damn it, I forgot what it's called. See, as I'm a former Teamster, not a current Teamster.
Security?
Thank you. You know why? I know why. Because I'm Samoan, so I always get people always think I'm security, so I've taken that word out of my vocabulary. I banished it from my lips. But yes, job security. That every time they hold a session, I think that's what it is. Like, oh, we want to show you guys that we're still working. It's like, just do the thing that needs to happen. Stop making these meetings for no damn reason.
We know you only work from this time to this time.
Do it.
I guess I'm trying to figure out why he wants to do that. You can get
it's
more.
Quicker and easier for people. Mm-hmm. They don't have to show up to court to contest. They only have to show up to court if they want to contest their ticket.
Yeah, so it is like a parking ticket or like a traffic ticket, like a traffic ticket.
That saves time too, where you don't have to hold up. You know, because every time you go to court, I mean, that takes up time from the court seeing other people. Mm-hmm. As well as now we got to pay for, you know, we taxpayers for, you know, to hold that session. I mean, that, you know, hearing or whatever in court. Obviously, I don't court much. So I'm like, when they have the hearing with the people and
Objection.
And the dude.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great idea. My only problem, like I said, why do we need a special legislative session?
So would you think this would be like, it's one of those like, oh, if you got like one traffic ticket or one, you broke one rule, you get your fine. I guess the second time, is it like a bigger fine you would expect, or the third time you broke the order, you'd eventually, have to go to jail or something. I'm not sure how it works because I don't get tickets very often enough for me to show up in court.
Let me tell you something, Pimp. I got lots of tickets.
So tell us how it works.
Yeah. And excuse me, James, you refer to me as he, him, or motherfucking G. Not Pimp.
Pardon me. I didn't mean any, I mean to insult your lifestyle of being a G.
Motherfucking G.
You insulted me again.
See, I'm ignorant to this new world order, and I apologize. My lawyer, Giuliani, is going to help me out here because I heard he's really good.
He's currently getting the best health care a president can buy. So
I hope so, because he's going to die. He was melting 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. and then he couldn't hold in his fart. So his sphincter, is weak. That means he's a weak person, fingers crossed. Wait, no, fingers crossed is not a good, right? Fingers crossed would mean bad, right? Let's just hope he survives, because we wouldn't want anybody to die.
Yeah, tell me more about these tickets and what happens when they accumulate.
So when you don't pay, when you don't register your vehicle for a long time and you park in certain areas, you get these tickets. And then he's like, out of sight, out of mind. And then when you eventually have to renew your driver's license, you cannot until you pay all these tickets. So in my lifetime.
What if you just start driving without a license?
Oh, that would be very bad. That's a moving violation. So moving violation is worse than traffic citation, because then now I'm driving illegally. Not just with an illegal vehicle, but I am illegally on the road with a moving vehicle.
You're illegally operating an illegal vehicle.
Yeah, so it's a lot of illegal.
There was a term for that. Unauthorized control of a propelled vehicle.
Yeah, propelled. This was written when they were using propellers still. Actually, the fan belt. It works on a propelling motion. Not really. It doesn't really propel you, but anyways.
Not in a Tesla.
Like one of us will have a Tesla. One day. Ooh. Speaking of authorizations.
Where are you going with this, James?
So there's this school that is looking for authorization. Actually, the principal gives authorization. I'm all over the place with this.
Mm-hmm. There's a school.
Uh-huh. Yes. Now, the school superintendent, or the DOE, Department of Education, gives each principal the authorization to either homeschool or do in-school learning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they're going with the Trump version of how to deal with the pandemic, where it's like, oh, the governors should do that. They everybody do their own thing, and I'll just watch the world burn.
I'm gonna go golfing.
Yeah, look at me. I can golf. As much as he golfs, you figure he'd be amazing at it. Anyways, so
is he bad at it?
Well, I mean, if you're good, you'd be in the the PGA. I'm assuming, right? I mean, wouldn't you rather be in the PGA than be the president?
Not. Enough.
I mean, I would for sure.
Me too.
I figure if you're good at something, you'd be respected for it, right?
True. Points, Russell. Principal of Princess Victoria Kaiulani Elementary School in Kalihi told the parents of kindergartners and first graders, it is time to bring their children back to school. Well, this is back in November 16th for face-to-face learning.
And we are still under the pandemic.
Yeah, and then this is the bad part of the pandemic, because Hawaii met, like you said, in I think it was early summer, late spring, where we were actually pretty good. Like you said,
yeah, we're doing it was well. Like we were. August, I think mm-hmm. that was like the worst part. In September, we started to bring it back down.
And we're still getting double-digit numbers. Some days we get three-digit, you know. So it's still not very good, especially to have our young ones go back to school. Now, a lot of people are thinking, hey, the young ones, they don't get the bad symptoms. But the teachers do, mm-hmm. as well as the parents and the grandparents of these kids.
Mm-hmm. And it's rare that the little kids end up suffering from COVID. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that it's impossible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like,
right.
Children can die.
Mm-hmm. Yes. They're not immortal.
And I don't know, I brought it up in one of the episodes where I knew a father and daughter who both got it. The mm-hmm. daughter wasn't so bad. The father, bad. Bad. Still, I don't think he's still recovered from it yet. Like, he's recovered, but after, there's still some lingering effects.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like, I guess when it comes to this people's thinking, they don't think far ahead. They only think up to their nose, you know, about how it's going to affect me versus how it's going to affect the next person and the next person.
Right.
But,
and they don't even think about how it affects them for very long.
Mm-hmm.
They're mm-hmm. just like, I'm probably not going to die. I'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
See, that was the other thing that I saw online, that doctor who was talking about the vaccines that I was telling you guys earlier. So one of the points he was making was, it's better to take the vaccine than not take the vaccine and recover from COVID. Because with the vaccine and never getting COVID, you will not have any of that lingering symptoms, like you say. And I think some people, they still have a hard time breathing, right? I mean, they can breathe, they can function, but when they do strenuous stuff, then it becomes hard for them to breathe.
Yeah, they have diminished lung capacity for a long time, possibly forever.
Yeah, so taking the vaccine will make sure that long term, you don't have those lingering effects, because air quotes, won't get the COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
But we were off track. Going back to your story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's put Principal Jill Texera on blast. Has made it clear that this is not an option for the kindergartners and the first grade at this school in Honolulu. She says, our youngest learners require the full attention of their teachers for the highest quality of education possible. To me, a kindergartner and first grader, if they miss school that year, they will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
They will be able to still learn. For some reason, I think maybe it's an American thing, I cannot say, because I don't know the rest of the world. We always feel like our kids got to learn right away, right now, or else they're going to miss out. So what are they going to miss out on? It's like, they can still learn. There's people, that I always use football as an example. There's people that never played Pop Warner level football. They started playing in high school and are in the NFL. Some parents think their kids at 5, 6 year old need to train from then all the way up to get to that level. Let the kid be a kid I think mentally and emotionally, they'll be stronger people when they, you know, they're allowed to develop at their own pace. Yeah, introduce some things. I mean, Becklin Tyler was, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, I was pushing her. But it's something that I learned from other parents, from other coaches, or mainly other coaches and trainers, and watching other people's kids that played with my daughter, that, oh yeah, maybe, and I stopped pushing her. I suggest things that I tell her, these are things that I see, and I'm just expressing and telling you, like, and then I'll talk to her, like, not shoving it in her face. And, hey, did you think that if, you know, your shoulder was like this, that maybe this? And then she tells me, well, the reason for this. So some people think, oh, she's not listening to me. I'm thinking of it as I just made her think about it. She's either is going to correct, or it's going to emphasize, or, you know, I guess solidify for her that this is the reason, and she's going to learn. The reason I do this is because of this. Okay, cool. And now I learned something. And maybe it was a blessing that she went to volleyball sport. I knew almost zero, except you got to hit the ball down on the ground and you on the other side, and then you get a point. So, you know, I think everybody learns at their own level as well, at their own time. I think forcing a kindergartner and a first grader, you got to be face to face with your teacher, or else what? You know, why? Let the kids, you know, they can learn. And there's some teachers that are saying that they're willing to work with the kids online to help the parents out, which I'm thankful that there's teachers that say that. But unfortunately, the principal is the boss.
She doesn't want that, right?
Yeah.
I think that, like, there's a lot of people that talk about how important, like, kindergarten, first grade is, like, that period of time in childhood development. You know, you got to be in school. You got to be face-to-face. Like, there's certain things that you're going to learn. And it's like, I can understand why people think that. But think about all the stupidest people you know. They were in kindergarten, face-to-face with their teacher. Didn't make them any less fucking stupid.
Agreed. I know a lot of stupid motherfuckers that started in preschool. Preschool 3, in fact.
Yeah, I did 2 years of preschool. I'm still a stupid asshole.
Yeah, I don't think you're stupid. Just the asshole part. Don't worry, Chad. You're our asshole.
And I like syrup. I'm sorry, go ahead.
We let our kid back in school. So he has in school classes. So I can kind of relate to this. The teachers are still there. They're still doing some remote. So there are some kids that are on Zoom as well that come in from time to time. But the teachers and the nuns have to prove to me that it was okay to send the kid back. What are you doing over there that would make everything gonna be IRA, you know? That's what it was. And after we had a meeting, which actually kind of went horribly, you know, I saw the things that they were doing and the things that they put in, which, by the way, they put in over the summer, which is what all the other freaking schools should have been doing, you know, while there was no school going on because of this pandemic, was getting their stuff in order. So when they reopen, it's going to be safe. And you can prove to the parents that it's going to be safe. All she's been saying, as far as I can see here in the news articles, my kid doesn't go to Iolani Elementary, so I don't have I don't get the newsletter there. But she should be proving to everybody why it's okay for them to go back. The things that they are doing for kid safety, and they should still be offering online classes for those parents who feel like it's not safe. It seems to be working. There doesn't seem to be an issue with the teacher. The teacher's like, oh no, they gotta come into class. The teacher's like, yeah, we'll do it remotely. It's fine. It's working.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I agree. I think the problem for me with this is you have to. You're forced to come to, and you know, like the studies that we talk about. There was no pandemic during when they were doing these studies. Mm-hmm. This is a different kind of year, and it sucks because, for my daughter who's a senior this year, and who changed sports, and this goes to her recruiting, and who are, the coaches say, "Oh, we need more film." And she contacts the coach and goes, "Oh, we've already filled the spots because the other girls had more film to go on. Whereas Tyler's film doesn't work because most of it's soccer. But now she wants to play volleyball. She only has 1 year of club volleyball, 2 seasons of high school volleyball. So she doesn't have a lot to go on and she has to play catch up. I don't know. I think forcing them rather, than just doing online is stupid. Online is fine because it's the time that we live in. We're living during a pandemic. We got to make adjustments in our life like we've all been doing. We're wearing masks. We're socially distancing. We're doing what we need to do. But if they're forcing people to do stuff, that, especially when it comes to the kids and their families.
You know what, too? That should be the lesson that we teach our kids as well, that you gonna have to learn to adapt to some of the things that happen in life. Things come at you, you make adjustments, and then move on.
You don't just throw your hands up in the air and give up. You just say, all right, today's shitty. Let's get through it today. Take care of the responsibilities. Do whatever we need to get done and hope tomorrow's not as shitty.
So, if anything out of 2020, I hope that's what a lot of people get out. So we make adjustments and we keep moving forward.
Yeah.
That's life, and that's what we should be teaching.
Yeah. You know what else is shitty?
What is that, James?
One last thing. Illegal fireworks.
Is that really shitty?
It is. Okay, so I'll tell you why it's shitty. Okay. Here's the report, which was...
Listen to the man who lives in a zoo.
And that's what I was going to get at. Thank you. So I'm happy that the police have seized illegal fireworks on Makiki. Tuesday afternoon, was that today? Oh, no, last week, Tuesday. Officers arrested a 35-year-old man and a 37-year-old woman for fireworks violation. And they're showing pictures of all of these fireworks, and they had a lot. It's illegal aerials that go up and blow up. You're not supposed to have that in residential, in your house. Or in Hawaii, I guess like the professional ones can. But anyways, I'm seeing a lot more on Facebook and Instagram. People that follow me and people I follow, their dogs are running away. And here in Pearl City, forget it. I mean, it might not even be in Pearl City. It's just that we can hear a lot of areas. Right. Like if they're doing it in Waipahu, we hear it. Doing it in Aiea, we hear it. And there's, we take precaution because we've actually adopted a new puppy. And he gets scared. Our older dog, well, he's only like a year, almost 2 years. Big dude, he doesn't care. Bah, bah, bah. He's like, whatever. But the little one's like, oh, what's that? What's that? And it's like, if he bolts, man, oh boy. They both bolted one time already last week. Not from the fireworks, but just to tell you a story, Tyler had to go chase them because I wasn't going to. But it was her fault. She left the door open. And then she...
You should have led with that.
Then she took the leash off the little one. And the little one bolted. And we just got him. He was only a week with us, and we didn't realize that he would do that. And he's super fast. Mm-hmm. So she standing at the doorway, and he bolted around her legs. She turned around and sprints after him. And then the big one goes, oh, are we running now? Gets up off the couch and bolts out the door too. I was like, holy hell. And then Tyla, of course, she found a kid, a kitten in the parking lot, and she kept that one too. So we closed the door.
Did the cat run too?
No, thank God, because that dude, that chick would have been gone. So we closed it, and then we just, my sister was going to run out too. I was like, who are you fooling, man? Come on. We're not running after these things. We got to teach them. We got to call them. They got to come back. So she goes to the front door, I go to the back door. We're all yelling, calling in their name. Tupu, Tupu. Tassi, the new dog, doesn't know his name yet. So I told her, I was like, there's no use calling that to you. Might as well yell Clorox or vaccine. It doesn't matter. We just hope he runs back. So, and it's funny because when I got the back door, I can see it's two kind of main roads, Gaumont and the other. Anyways, so I'm looking and I'm seeing cars turn onto the other road in front of me. And I see all the driver's heads turn, like looking to the back. And they're like, they're looking at Tyler. No, they're looking at Tyler. And then I see two police cars turn and they both are looking back. I'm like, holy crap. So they drove by and they didn't even help her. It's like, she finally gets over.
Says her dad.
It was a learning moment.
Yes. She got to learn. Don't leave the door open. She brought the dogs over and I said, what happened? She said, oh, the little one ran under the police car. The other one was running around the police car. I was like, so what'd you do? The police car, they stopped and they opened the door and they did try to help. She ended up getting both of them. They were willing to help help her with bringing them back to the house, but she got it. They, one of the other ones kind of stopped traffic, like angled his car so that traffic wouldn't, you know, come flying up and down. Right. And then I was like, oh, that was nice of them. So thank you, HPD officers, that helped Tyler out, because she would have been all by herself looking at a run over dog last week. And I would have been like, hey, what's the password to your cell phone again? So thank goodness. Before we go today, we recorded Tuesday, December 8th. Earlier today, my dad's funeral. We had his service. We laid his body to rest finally. He passed away September 21st. But because of COVID restrictions or pandemic restrictions, or however you want to say it, we weren't able to schedule anything till December 8th. So Dad has been on the freezer for so long. He taught me a lot of things. I'll just share one story where, and it's something I still carry with me as far as comedy writing, the way I think. I don't know if I told you guys a story where I was pulling up to a bus stop. And then as I pulled over, looking, the lady at the bus stop, this is a Sunday afternoon, I'm on number one. The bus is every hour going towards Cali from downtown Chinatown. And there's an old lady sitting at the bus stop by herself. This is an afternoon. I slowed down. She didn't gesture. She didn't make any movements towards the bus stop or towards the bus. So I assumed she's not waiting for my bus. I slowed down. And I saw that the light was still green, and then I took off. My dad was a supervisor, so he was across the street, hidden. And then the next stop, he just like flies her in, like police, right to the bus. And it's like he gets out, and he went from work James money to my dad. Because he gets out and he's waving his arm at me. I can't hear him because my window's closed. So I open the window and he's yelling at me like he was going to pull off his belt and start whipping me. And I was like, whoa, whoa, easy, Pop. We're at work. You know, it's like, we're at work, you know, relax. And then
you're like, you're not my supervisor. You're like,
In hindsight, though, I wish he did hit me. I would have sued the place. Next time I know, like, if I have a son or my daughter goes work over there and I work there, I'll go beat her up and then she can sue the company and they will still be paid. But so his explanation why he was so angry was that woman was waiting for my bus. She's waiting for the number one. But I told her, I didn't know she wanted that bus. And he pointed out, you know, some of these people that we pick up, elderly people, they can't see that well. Some cannot read. Some can't hear that well. Everybody has something. Not everybody's just like you. Not everybody thinks like you. Everybody's different, and everybody has some, could have something wrong with them. She waited for your bus because I know what bus she catches. She's waiting for your bus. She waited 30 minutes for you. Now she has to wait another hour for the next one. You just, her whole afternoon is gone waiting for one bus. You got to think about the way other people think, or the way other people live, the way other people act, you know, how they behave, and their not necessarily disabilities, but, you know, their limitations. Mm-hmm. You can't just be like, oh, that's too bad for you. And that's not a lot of bus drivers that you see. They drive that way where they don't give a shit. They see you running for the bus, they just take off. Mm-hmm. Because I was part of that. And it wasn't until my dad told me that. He said, sometimes you just got to slow down, stop, open your door. When you open your door, you welcome people in. That's what, you know, you need to do. That's your job. Mm-hmm. It's not, oh, you got to catch me. So why are you, you're supposed to pick them up. You know, it's like stuff like that. Just stuck with me, like, man. And then even with comedy writing, I got to think what the audience thinks. Mm-hmm. And what their perception is. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm talking over them or not talking to their level. They might be above. But in order to get to connect with the audience, I got to find their level and connect to them by letting them in. And I was like, damn. I thought he was just a big, dumb Samoan guy. But he's actually intelligent. So then he passed. And I started thinking about these stories. And I was thinking about, I was like, dude read newspaper every day. Even if, you know, he doesn't read like American literature or whatever, he knows what's going on. And he's continually reading. You know, I was like, damn. So I'm going to give this shot to my pops. Miss you, big guy. You know, say hi to George. I love you. Thank you. Ooh, that hit different. So his funeral is today. Finally laid to rest. You know, we move forward with the rest of our lives. Till we see you again, Pop. Love you. All right. You know, we guys with issues, we joke around, we talk a lot of trash. We curse up a storm. It might come across as us being jerks or whatever, but we're actually not. We actually do care about you guys. We love everyone, even if they don't listen to this podcast, because we care about humans in general. Even the ones that we talk, the ones that maybe don't care about us. One thing we don't like is bullying. If you see somebody being bullied, maybe you can lend a hand. I mean, if you don't want to jump in and help out, find somebody. Maybe you make a phone call. You know, if you're at school, maybe tell the teacher or somebody on the staff. Talk to somebody. That might be just the thing that person who's being bullied needs. Guys with issues, when we started doing this, when we don't like to hear about teenagers killing themselves over something like this. Maybe if it's not physical bullying, but made fun of. You know, because young people, your life is just starting. You know, you think this is your whole world, but it's much more than that. We care about you. We love you guys. Maybe even just saying hello to somebody or a smile will help. You know, those of you who feel like you want to hurt yourself, please don't. You can hit us up, get us up on a DM on our social media. We love to chat with you. We love our fans, you know. Those of you who would like professional help, please call the National Suicide Hotline at 1-800-273-8255. That's 800-273-TALK. Or 1-800-784-2433 or 800-SUICIDE. If you have T-Mobile, the 988 number, the new crisis number is available for you. It's just like dialing 911. But if it's, you just need some help with something you're going through, and it's not like you're in physical danger. If you're in physical danger, call 911. But if you have a crisis that you need somebody to talk to, try it, 988 on T-Mobile. We really appreciate you guys. Please help us out by subscribing to our YouTube channel and hit the notification button. Guys with issues, we're always evolving. We got some things that we're planning on coming up with soon. We hope you guys enjoy the podcast. Thank you guys so much. Please be safe out there. If you can, share the episode with at least one person, and we thank you for it. My name is James Mane. As always, I am with Russell Kealoha.
Goodbye, everybody.
And Chad Walgo.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. God bless you. Stay safe. Wear a mask. Trans rights. Good night.